Good morning, and welcome to the broadcast of the First Christian Church of Pittsfield. The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults in a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.
Peace of Jesus, and I have been so blessed. I don't know about the rest of you. If you haven't been with us, I really encourage you to go to the website. There's been some neat truths there. But as we kind of focus our discussion this morning for a few moments, I'm reminded of a story. It's actually a pretty familiar story. Maybe some have heard it, but a husband and wife were getting ready to turn in for the evening, and the wife was standing in front of a full-length mirror. She's kind of having a rough day at the moment. She was looking at the mirror, and she said, "You know, I'm looking at this reflection, and I see an old woman in the mirror, and you know, I feel wrinkled, and I feel like everything's either sagging or bloated, and I feel flabby." And she looks at her husband, and she's like almost in tears. She said, "Please, honey, tell me something positive about myself, something to make me feel better." And the husband took a big breath and looked at his wife and said, "Well, darling, there's nothing wrong with your eyesight." Funeral services for the husband will be held at, if you're like me, how many of you hate shopping for clothes? I hate shopping for clothes. And here's why, because I'll try something on and I'll think this really looks good and I like it. And then I'll come home and I'll take it. And sometimes I'll ask my wife, I'll be like, "So what do you think?" And she'll just go, and she won't give any answer. She's being so polite. She doesn't want to, you know, bust my bubble or anything, but she's like that. I dislike clothes shopping. And for one, you know, I'm convinced that the stores do something. In my house, I have one particular mirror. It's this one mirror, and I don't know what's going on with it, but the mirror must be bent just a little in because you look thinner and you look taller. Anybody have a mirror like that at home? I know. Well, actually, so I've got this little cartoon I clipped out that I wanted to show you. There's this lady, and you look at her reflection is not quite accurate there. And the little thing that underneath it reads, "Well, I'm not too sure about the suit, but I'll definitely take the mirror." So it's kind of like that. And it's frustrating from at times, you know, when you look and you think that things are going to fit a certain way and then they don't. But that's why I appreciate if there's another one there. These three-way mirrors, those are pretty cool. Because you can look, and then, you know, I remember when we were doing fittings for Texas. You could see how things fit in all different ways. And every now and then, if I need to buy like a decent suit, there'll be a nicer store. We'll have those types of mirrors where you can look at all angles. Those of you who like football and the NFL, I know it's kind of annoying, but you know how you see a really important play and they say, "Oh, the officials called it a completed pass." And then they'll say, "Oh, we're challenging it. We're going to replay." And all of a sudden you'll see three different camera angles and one camera angle will clearly show that the ball hit the ground. And from one direction, it looked one way. But when you see another angle, it totally changes your perspective on something. Isn't that kind of interesting? Well, Jesus, we're seeing something like that in chapter 14 here. It's kind of crazy, but Jesus is going to give a kind of a three-way mirror about one particular issue. In fact, he's at a banquet, and then he tells a story about a banquet. He's talking to somebody who invited him to the banquet, and he tells a story about inviting people to the banquet, and then a parable about it. And so it's like this three-way thing. It's kind of like we have this angle, and this angle. And when we break it down, we're going to see that he was really addressing kind of the same thing, but a lot deeper. So let's just dive right into it here today. Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 24. And let's kind of say that we're facing the mirror, and we're getting the head-on view, first of all. It says, "One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him carefully." Now, that's interesting. It says here that what were they doing to him carefully? Now, last week, He was, it sounds like a soap opera. When last we left the life of Jesus, we saw that he was having a meal with a bunch of Pharisees, and Jesus like went totally off on them. And he's like giving them all these woes, and he's calling them out saying, you know, woe to you Pharisees, woe to you teachers of the law. And he makes a scene, a very uncomfortable scene, and he tells them, you guys are a bunch of puffed up, arrogant, prideful, you think you're all that, and you're not. And it got really uncomfortable, and it says at the end, remember last week, it said that they were beginning to look for a reason to go get Jesus. And so now they invite him to another banquet, and it says right here that they're watching him carefully. How comfortable is that? You ever sat down at a table with people who maybe weren't your bestest buddies and pals, and all the conversation changes? I kind of laugh, because there's a lot of times... Well, I better not tell that story. Never mind. I better not get, I'll get in trouble. Suffice to say, there's been times that sometimes I walk into places and everything. And I don't know if it's like, hey, it's the preacher thing, or hey, it's the, or the whatever it is, or is it a ball? I don't know what it is, but it's kind of interesting how conversations change. Well, Jesus is brought in and they're watching him like a hawk. It goes on and says, and behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. Now that didn't mean that he was dropping. Oh, dropsy. No, I mean, he's talking about edema. Basically, he was maybe had congestive heart failure, and he was retaining water. And so it was a noticeable condition. Was it life-threatening at this moment? Probably not at this moment, but it was a condition nonetheless, an annoyance, and it was something that he saw. So he had this condition, and so they're watching him carefully. In verse 3, it says, and Jesus responded. No one has said anything to him yet, but he responded to the lawyers and the Pharisees, his favorite two groups of people, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not? It's like someone's asking Jesus, what are you having for dinner tonight? And he's like, Pharisees. Yeah. He's like, it's on. I mean, I've told you that my family dinners often ended up in arguments. You know, I said last week, it wasn't a family dinner till someone had lima beans thrown at them and a beer was poured on their head. Then we knew, hey, it's dinner time. That's how things were in me growing up. I don't advocate that. It was pretty rough. But Jesus ruined a meal, and now he's at it again. He's taking a stick and he's poking the bear. Everybody thinks of Jesus as this, hi, I'm Jesus. I'm blessed and I'm meek. He's kind of aggressive. I mean, I'm not trying to add something to Scripture. Jesus is looking for trouble here in a way. He's pointing something out. And they remained silent. And so he took the man and he healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, which of you having a son or an ox has fallen into a well on a Sabbath, they will not immediately pull him out? And they could not reply to these things. Here's the deal. Jesus could have healed them the next day. He could have healed them the day before. They weren't here for a healing, but you kind of wonder if they were setting Jesus up. Kind of like, okay, we're going to have this guy. There's obviously a condition wrong with him. Let's just see what he's going to do. And they're watching him. And Jesus is like, oh, you want to take, I'll take the bait. I'll snap the trap. You want to do this? Let's do it. I love Jesus because he's real. He's a real guy and he's getting into this stuff. And so he's pointing a fact out. He says, look, you guys are missing the real intent of the law. They're finding the law is to divide people and to pull people out, and that God's trying to reveal something to them. So they're going up, they're looking in the mirror. And my point one was going to be like last week I said, God's going to mess with you. My first point was going to be, God's going to continue. Everybody say continue. Why did he do this? This is the same thing of his last meal, the meal that he had prior to this. It's like, why do I tell my kids, clean your room, and then 10 minutes later say, clean your room? Why? It didn't happen yet. And so Jesus has the same conversation. And for some of us, that should be kind of a red light. Have you felt like the same situations have happened over and over? You know, we see it in relationships. If you and your spouse have the same fight, have the same discussion over, let's just call it like it is, the same fight, over and over again. That's usually what people do. They don't have like different things that they argue about. Usually you argue about the same thing and you could just like switch the day. It's the same fight over and over. And here's why that is. Because the key problem hasn't been resolved yet. Don't give up. Start looking to what the real issue is. So point one is truly this. God cares about people. And the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were going to let this guy continue to not get healed. They were cool because they're like, you know what the law says? You can't do any work. Healing a person is going to be work. We don't want you to heal him. And Jesus walks right in and says, you know what? I'm going to show you what the law is really about. Because you don't get it. Some people don't get what church is really about. They really don't. Some people don't get what relationship with God is really about. And here's the bottom line. God cares about people. God loves people. And so we as the church, what do you think we should do? Be mad at people. No, love people. So Jesus points out to them that they're more concerned with rules than with people. I see that happen all the time and it drives me crazy in religion. It drives me crazy. You try to invite people to church. I invite a lot of people to church. And a lot of times I'll say, hey, would you like to come to church? Would you like to come to worship? And they'll say this, the church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. I'm like, yeah, you're correct. They are. Hey, come be one of them, okay? Not to be a hypocrite. That didn't come out right. But I get it. None of us are perfect. Every one of us is messed up. And we're not perfect people. But what's frustrating is when people treat people not like Jesus would treat them. Okay? And that's what Jesus is beginning to point out. And we have to ask ourselves this question. Are we more concerned with what man has made than what God has made? That's why you get frustrated. Well, you better not act like this. I get it. We want to have order in the service. I get it. We want to take care of the building. You know, this is an opportunity. I get all those things. But when we lose our ability to be loving and compassionate, it's scary. Let me get on my little soapbox because I got a little bit of time here. This is what's really disheartened me about the past several months in this election process. And if you're a Republican or if you're Democrat, I hope that I offend both of you today. Because here's the deal. We no longer in this nation can discuss without vilifying the other person. Okay? We got to be able to do that. We got to be able to have discussions with individuals. Now, as the church, we don't go to people who are different than us and say, you stinking rotten sinner. That's just not how it operates, do we? What we do is we bring them the love of Jesus. Amen? All right, so I'm backing away from any political conversations. I get it. I get it here today. But I really hope that we in this room can be Christians first before we're anything else. I hope that we can do that, especially remembering Veterans Day, where we've had individuals who have given their lives, who have sacrificed for this wonderful one nation under God, indivisible, that has liberty and justice for all, not just for people who we agree with. Following Christ should lead us to be more concerned with God-made man rather than man-made rules. And let me bring this out why I say man-made rules. Because the whole reason that the Pharisees were saying you can't heal on the Sabbath is because the Ten Commandments, one of the commandments was remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Good. Now, on to that one command. Here's what the Pharisees had done at Jesus' day. 1,521 rules about the Sabbath. 1,521 ways that you can break the Sabbath, or you're guilty of breaking the Sabbath. Some of them are ridiculous. You couldn't walk more than 750 yards. If you did that, you had broken the Sabbath. I love this one. You couldn't wear a heavy coat because if you took it off and you had to carry the coat, you'd be breaking the Sabbath. You'd be doing work. Ladies, you're going to love this one. A woman could not look into a mirror because if she looked into a mirror and found a gray hair and pulled it out, she was reaping. How stupid is that? And what? I'm sure Jesus is thinking, goodness gracious, guys, you have so missed it. And now for us today, if we are not careful, we can miss it. It happens all the time. We focus on the church more than we focus on Jesus. We focus on our programs more than we focus on the lost. We focus on how we do things and how we like to have our personal preferences more than the gospel message of bringing God's love to those who desperately need it. And Jesus is shining a spotlight. He's like, you want to wear this shirt? Guess what? This doesn't look really good on you. You're going to have to fix some things. If God loves people, we too are to love people. So now, you know, they're not getting it. And so he's getting that they're not getting it. And so he says, okay. So we've looked at this mirror. Now, just like we're back in Macy's or you're in JCPenney's. And now, so we've looked this way. And now we're going to turn and we're going to look this way. And we're going to see another angle. Jesus is like, let me turn this and show you just something else. Verse 7. Now he told a parable to those who were invited. When he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, when you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, don't sit down in the place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited to him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you're invited, go sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you'll be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be, and he who humbles himself will be. If you weren't here with us last week, Jesus said nearly the same thing to the Pharisees and the lawyers at the meal just prior to this. He said, look, you're full of pride. You like to go into the marketplace and you love it when people say, ooh, look, the Pharisee, ooh, the religious leader. In other words, he's letting them know. Why would Jesus repeat a conversation? Because it's the same thing. I think some of us, we frustrate ourselves because we resist what God is trying to address in us. Okay? We look and we see things and we don't resolve them. I talk to people sometimes about, I remember some young ladies particularly who would come in and have this conversation. I continually get my heart broken relationships. I'm like, okay. And so we'll talk about it. And then we begin to find out that she makes the same decisions in relationships, finding people who really aren't godly people, and then turn around and break their heart. It's like, well, okay, the issue is your relationship choices. Or let's change the subject to something, you know, maybe that we can all relate to a little better. I talk to people sometimes about counsel people, and they're like, money is always an issue. Like, okay, great. So you're saying money is the issue. Yes, we never have enough money. I'm like, okay, do you live on a budget? Why are you sticking your nose in my business? You know? Okay. Did we hit a nerve? No, leave me alone, slam. Okay. So it's little things like that. It's like, so we got to look at a budget. And we got to look at some of those things. And if we don't, we'll continue to repeat the problem. You know, I several months ago, you know, coming out of a very, very long, intense season and trying to put some things back into my life, I remember getting on the scale and it saying, one at a time, please. And I was like, okay. So I would go home and stand in front of my lying mirror and say, I look just fine. And I decided I got to start doing some things. I got some stuff I need to address. I'm not proud of it. In fact, I'm pretty embarrassed of it. But I've tried to be very aggressive over the past several weeks to begin to drop some weight. Because I need to. I want to be healthy for my kids and some other stuff. But if you see a problem and then you continue to ignore it, it won't go away, right? Well, Jesus is having the same thing going on with these Pharisees. He's had this conversation. You're all proud and puffed up, and you think that obeying a bunch of rules is going to put you in the right place with God. Let me tell you something. You don't get it. This garment looks horrible on you. Why would Jesus have this conversation? Because observing the law had become a source of pride for them rather than humility. And he was pointing this, that they were selfish and they were prideful and they wanted the primary spot. And against and contrary to this, Jesus says this, don't quit needing Jesus. That's a message for us today. You need Jesus. Every person in this room today, I hope that you needed Jesus and you realize that you needed Jesus so that you could come to God. Amen? Here's the problem. A lot of us needed past tense Jesus, and we wake up in the morning and we think, well, I'm squeaky clean. I don't need him today because I didn't mess up. That is doctrine in some churches. There's some churches who say that that's what the Lord's Supper is all about, is we come to the Lord's Supper to be forgiven. You come to the Lord's Supper because you have been forgiven. And there are people who say this, you know what? I'm really doing well with God today because I had some people in need. Maybe I raked leaves for my neighbor. Maybe I went and visited some people and I did some good deeds. And because I did those good deeds, I feel pretty good. I was compassionate. And so I'm a little more holy today than I was yesterday. And I want to tell you, that is false teaching. And I believe it is all the way from the Pharisees. You can't make yourself any more righteous than the blood of Jesus makes you. Not one iota. And the same blood of Jesus that cleansed me the first day I came to him and said, I'm a mess, please forgive me, is the same blood of Jesus that keeps me in perfect right relationship with him today. So, well, Pastor, that means we don't do good deeds. No, Jesus said, do good deeds. In fact, he said, the reward of your good deeds is treasures in heaven. He says, when you do good deeds, you're storing up for yourselves treasures in heaven, but you're not getting yourself there. That is relationship with Jesus Christ. When we receive Jesus, that's good news, everybody. I can't make myself any more right in God's sight than the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus is the only way. That's what saves me. Amen. Yeah, so now I don't do things to earn favor with God. I'm his child, and I do things because I love men and because I understand that that's God working, the Holy Spirit working through me. And that's a wonderful thing. And so Jesus is calling them out. Hey, don't quit needing Jesus. Be humble. When I invite people to church, again, like I said earlier, the reason people won't come to church is because of us. Because we act all puffed up. And we act all better than everyone else. And we act like, oh, we got all our stuff together. No, we don't. I know you all. Some of you really don't have it all together. But that's okay because God loves us. Because I don't have it all together. Amen. We're a big room full of mess. And thank God that he loves us. Sometimes in spite of it. And we get in our own way. And so we think that, you know, hey, if I just do this, if I just do that. I was fed that false doctrine as a little kid. I was taught as a little kid, obey the Ten Commandments and that'll make you a Christian. Hogwash. It can't. To be a follower of Christ means I accept Jesus as my Savior and as my Lord, and that he is my righteousness, and that's a free gift, not by works, so that no one can boast, is what the Apostle Paul says. So guys, how do we frame this? Number one, God loves people. That means me. I got to keep needing Jesus. Keep needing Jesus. You Joe Dirt people, keep on keeping on, okay? I got to keep. That was lost for everyone except a few really weird people who have my sense of humor and know Joe Dirt. Chaz, remember me to edit that out of the sermon when we put it online. Don't lose your place of humility. All right. So now we have a nice little fight that happens after this. So Jesus has said this and it's making some people mad. And so he turns to the person who set this whole dinner up and he calls him out. He says, and he said to also the man who had invited him, this poor guy, you know, said, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or your rich neighbors. Why do you think he said that? Because that's who was in the room. Hey, when you give a banquet, you see all these people here? Don't invite them. Why? He's being, I don't want to say he's being a jerk, but he's really, really digging at them here. And he says, lest they invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, in other words, here's the real banquet you need to be about. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. And then you'll be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. He's calling out the generous invitation of the host because the motivation for this entire dinner wasn't lost on Jesus. They said they were watching him carefully, not to see how great he was, but to catch him in a mess up. This was all a setup. I had that happen to me one time. I was invited to a dinner, and it was supposed to be, hey, yeah, we just like to get to know you. And it wasn't that. It was a room full of people who had issues, and they were going to correct me on my issues. And some of us, I was like, hey, fine, I'd like to be corrected. Let's talk. And it became very quickly, it was like, oh, okay, I can see how this is going on. And so there's a part of me that was like, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind, but I realize I need every piece that I have, so I didn't. I decided to start quoting scripture, and I was that guy. And no one likes that guy. Don't be that guy. So we got in this biblical debate, and I finally said, look, we agree to disagree. I love you, but blah, 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 blah. And it was a bunch of the God bullet people. Anyway, enough said about that. Let's back off all that. God knows our real motives, and they were watching carefully, and we can't serve ourselves into his kingdom. He's telling them, look, you're trying to do all these things to get yourself a better position in this wrecked culture that you're calling religious, this religious culture. It's messed up, guys. I'm going to redefine the whole thing. And so now it's uncomfortable. And look what happens. You have one of these people. Anybody a change the subject person? Things get uncomfortable when you try to change the subject at a meal. Look what happens. When one of the people reclined at the table heard these things, he said, blesses everyone who will eat in the kingdom of God, will eat bread in the kingdom of God. In other words, can we change the subject, please? Let's not fight. Can't we just get along? That was my sister at our dinner table at home. And Jesus basically says, nah. And he swings the mirror. And then listen to what he says. But he said to him, a man once gave a great banquet. So look at this. Jesus is at a banquet. He's been talking to the person about who you invited to the banquet, who was invited to the banquet. And now he's going to tell another story about a banquet. He says, a man gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant. Who do you think he's talking about? Himself. He sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. But they all began to make excuses and first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. Another said, I've bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. It's interesting. First two things have to do with my works, my works, my works. What is the law about? My works. And they were going to miss the banquet because they're all about their works. Next one is their relationship that was messed up. Another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and reported these things to his master. And the servant of the then the master of the house became what? And he said to his servant, go out quickly to the streets, the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. And the servant said, sir, what you've commanded has been done, and there is still... Guys, there is still room. We got tons of chairs in the back. We got bleachers. I want you to know this today. There is still room. Now, we're talking about church, but we're talking not just about coming to church. We're talking about getting them in the kingdom of God. Verse 23, and the master said to his servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in. That's my message for us today. This is homecoming for First Christian Church. Let's bring people home. He says, for I tell you that none of the men who are invited shall taste of my banquet. Okay, Jesus wants that the house to be filled. And so my final point is simply this. Guys, get busy. Can you all say that together? It's time to... Oh, come on now, say it like you mean it. It's time to... Do we believe the gospel? I do. I really do. It makes me want to jump up and down. And if we believe it, what are we doing with it? Or, you know, what I got to tell myself, what excuses am I making? So guys, time is short. It's too short for excuses. It's too short for all those things. God loves people. We're called to be servants, and time is short, so let's all do the math. Let's all do the math.
The First Christian Church of Pittsfield is committed to reach, teach, and empower people with the life-changing message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The First Christian Church is located at 225 North Memorial Street in Pittsfield. Our phone number is area code 217-285-4129. Our service times are Sunday morning at 8 a.m. and at 10:30 a.m. in the sanctuary, and also a modern worship service, the Sunday Morning Oasis, at 9:15 in the Crossroads Gymnasium. Every Sunday morning, there is Sunday school offered for all ages at 9:15 and a Sunday school class for adults and a high school small group at 8 a.m. For more information or service times, you can visit our website at www.fccpittsfield.org or just simply contact the church office. Thank you for joining us this morning, and may God bless you.